take your Bibles and turn to Jude chapter, or Jude, the first and only chapter in Jude, but verse 22. So, very famous verse in there. The title of my sermon this morning is Compassion That Makes a Difference. Compassion That Makes a Difference. Let's look at the verse here in Jude. It says, "And some have compassion making a difference." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to go soul winning today. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to love people and care about people and not worry so much about numbers, but worry about those people's souls. And Lord, that we would see people and have pity on them and have compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so compassion means sympathetic pity and concern for sufferings or misfortunes of others. I'll read that again because I know that we're all have a Baptist hangover from partying too hard last night, right? But when I woke up, I was like, it can't possibly be 9 o'clock. But I think most of us didn't get to bed till after 2 o'clock, so
yeah
it's rough, right? But I'll read that again. It says, compassion is it's sympathy or sympathetic pity and concern for the sufferings or misfortunes of others. And of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had a lot of compassion for people, and it's very evident. I'm going to take you through some passages where it talks about him having compassion for multitudes, for single people, just one person at a time. And he also, he just wore himself out trying to reach the multitudes. He would work hard and go all day and not take breaks. And even on his vacation, he still was working hard all day. But we'll get to that here in just a minute. But some people might say the amount of people getting saved versus the amount of people in the world that our soul winning is not really making that much of a difference. But you know, that's not true. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. And if you start thinking that way, then you know you need to change your way of thinking, because everything that we do when we're going out soul winning does make a difference. Even if nobody gets saved, we're still making a difference for God's kingdom. And we need to understand that even though it's just a few number of people that are going out soul winning, that we can make a difference. And we do make a difference, and we will make a difference. It is a wrong way of thinking to think that what we're doing, it's just one person got saved this week, or two people got saved during, what is everybody else doing though? Because I guarantee if you look at the numbers in other people's bulletins in this city, you're not going to find soul winning numbers or, 20 people going out soul winning this week. Usually it's just a pastor and some other person that's probably just is on fire and wants to do something, but their pastor's too lame to even actually do real soul winning. It's really bus calling, or it's some other kind of lame substitute for soul winning. We're going on visitation. Somebody dropped a card in the offering plate or gave it to the usher, and that person is just, there's people all over that are seeking, like, hey, I want to serve God in some way. But like the churches that they go to don't even offer them an opportunity to do that. How sad is that? But you're in a great church here, and your pastor wants to make a difference in this world. He wants to make a difference in this city. And you being here and going to the soul winning times, it does make a difference. And it probably encourages your pastor to know that you're here this morning, even after having a great time of, I think it was it record breaking fellowship? Did it break the record? Okay. Amen. And that's great. I'm glad to be a part of record breaking fellowship. But and fellowship is important. But what's more important is going out and getting people saved. So I was in the Philippines when the first missions trip to the Philippines. And I was really sick. Like I was sick the whole time I was there. I felt terrible. And I was still going out and things like that, but I was like just passing off people and trying to get them to people that actually spoke the language. Brother RJ was my soul winning partner. I think he got like 37 people saved in one day. Amen. He must have needed to take some tea and some lozenges or something after that, because he got a lot of people saved that day. And me and my wife were just kind of directing people and said, hey, you want to hear the gospel? And like just giving them to him. But like on that missions trip, I think between my wife and I, we had 13 salvations. So, but like compared to all the other people, like especially the people that spoke the language, we really didn't, that was a small number. But, one day I was really sick and I actually held back and stayed in the hotel for the whole day. And I'm not trying to prop myself up or anything like that, but
what I'm saying is that, so I was super sick. I didn't feel like talking. I didn't feel like going out that day, but I went, I was trying to find a place so I could get something to get some relief. And over there, they don't have relief. Like, you could go get NyQuil here or, you know, some kind of antihistamines or something like that. But over there, they don't really have anything. Like, I was just trying to find something that was comparable. It's just some cold medicine, right? But we just walked around to the corner to this little old lady's shop, and she had her kids were playing in the background, and it was like a mom and pop style pharmacy. And I didn't feel like giving that lady the gospel, but I did. I asked her if she was 100% sure she was saved, and she said no, and she was Roman Catholic. And she was the easiest salvation I think I've ever had. But I wanted to have compassion on her, and I fought through that cold to get that lady saved. But I think back and I think, you know, all these people are getting all these people saved, and they're just like, yeah, I got, you know, 50 salvations and all this other stuff, because it's very receptive over there. And I think, well, I was stifled. But I think that God allowed me to get that sick so that day I could walk into that store and get that one lady saved that needed to hear the gospel. And so I thank God for that. But, you know, if we don't have that attitude of compassion towards people, then we're gonna pass situations like that by and not even think about it. So we have to have an always soul winning mentality and try to get people saved that we come into contact with, because that wasn't just me going and knocking on doors. That was just a random person, you know, that was selling me some drugs. So and they weren't very good either. So anyway, some cold medicine drugs, all right? So, but, you know, how do we make a difference? Well, we make that difference by having compassion for the lost. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And I'm going to try to get through this really quickly. But Matt, here's an example of Jesus caring for the lost. And it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's compassion right there. He went to all the cities, not just some of them. He went to all the villages, not just some of them. He was teaching in their synagogues, and he was also preaching the gospel. He was getting people saved and also healing people. Now, obviously, we don't have the power to put our hands on people and heal them like that, but we can still pray for people that are sick, and we can still try to have compassion on them in one way, shape, or form. You know, we might not be able to heal every disease, but, you know, Christ left us here to make a difference, you know, and that's, and going soul winning is going to make that difference. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So not only does Jesus care about the individual, but, you know, you see, he works hard to get that compassion, to make that difference out in the world. And it says, when he saw the multitudes. So when we see the multitudes, if you just think, you know, we kind of sometimes live in our own little world, in our own little town. But when you, like, take a big picture and kind of zoom out or whatever, if you would, there's billions of people on this planet, and most of those people are going to hell because they don't have someone in their city to preach the gospel to them. It's very sad. But Jesus had a view of, hey, I saw these multitudes, and I wanted to make a difference and make them have the salvation that they need. And in verse 37, it says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And he's right about that. The laborers are few. It doesn't say the laborers are many. The harvest is plenteous. There's a lot of people that need to be saved, but the laborers are few. And so when you come here and you come to your soul winning times, you're the few. You're the few that are going out, and that few right there is you, right? And so it's important that you're here. It's important that you show up to the soul winning times. It's important that you back up your pastor and make it like, you know, if nobody ever showed up to soul winning, it'd probably be pretty disheartening to your pastor. But, you know, I know he appreciates you being here. But you know who else appreciates you being here? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said there's a lot of people, but there's not very many people that are helping work that harvest. So turn to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, and we'll see a story where Jesus cared about one person. So it's not just about, you know, having an overall view of, of the multitudes, but it's also one single person. Christ would stop, like, if you think about the woman at the well, he sat there while they all went off to get food, and he knew there was a divine appointment happening. That woman of Samaria was going to come and talk to him. That's a great picture of just caring about that individual and just regular soul winning in your everyday life. It wasn't like they were knocking on the doors of Samaria. There's people and individuals that will come to you in your life, and you should care about them. You should care whether they get the gospel. Look at verse number 40. It says, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus," what was he? "Moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." Now this is a situation where he's actually doing a healing on somebody. But look, if you know anything about the New Testament and when Jesus healed people, if they didn't have faith, he wouldn't heal them. And so this man had faith, but you know, he took the time, and it says he was moved with compassion. See, a lot of times we're supposed to be like Jesus, but we're not like Jesus because we don't see that one individual and say, hey, that person needs the gospel. And so we just walk by and it's like, hey, it's not a soul winning time. So, you know, while it's not soul winning time, I'm not going to go out soul winning. That's a wrong attitude to have, because Christ took the time to deliver people that were sick and delivered devils. But he was moved with compassion for the individual, not just for the multitudes. Now turn to Mark chapter 5. Verse number 18, Mark chapter 5, verse number 18. It says, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Now, this is talking about when Jesus heals this man that was possessed by a devil. And it says in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." So what is he saying? He said, hey, don't, you know, go and spread the message to other people. Go tell them what the great things that God's done for you, and how he had compassion on thee. And I think when we get people saved, and people realize that we care, that you know, we have to realize that people aren't going to just, you know, if we're in robotic mode and we're just like, hey, next door, hey, and we just give them this spiel, this used car salesman style of soul winning, you know, people could tell if you care about them or not. And so that man, you could tell that he realized that Jesus actually did care for him. And the Lord told him, hey, tell them what compassion that he had for thee. So when we go and we have compassion for people, that's going to probably motivate them to go and tell other people. And so when they see the care that you have for them, they want to care for other people too. That's what you would think would happen, but that doesn't always happen, obviously. But it says, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." See, we're supposed to shine, once we get saved, we're supposed to shine our light on other people also. We're supposed to have compassion on other people like someone had compassion for us. Because everybody in this room, if everybody in this room is saved, somebody at some time individually took the time to give you the gospel and to get you saved. You know why? Because they cared about you. They cared about your soul. And whether it was by watching a DVD, you know, or whatever got you saved, if you were listening to some pastor online, or whether it was Pastor Jones, or whoever got you saved, they took the time to have compassion on you. And we need to reflect that light that we get to other people also. We need to have compassion and make a difference in their life so that they can do it for other people. That's how the kingdom of God works. It just branches out. But, you know, if there's not enough people doing the caring, then there's not going to be a lot of people saved, right? So when you show compassion on someone, don't be surprised when that person wants to share that compassion with others. But if we just are, like I said, robotic, and just like it's obvious we don't care about them, people sense things like that. And they can see the look in your eyes when you're either ready to just roll your eyes and walk off, or whether you actually really do care about them. And you're trying to get that last verse in to try to just put something in their heart for eternity. And when people won't go soul winning or don't care much about soul winning, even though someone showed them that compassion for Jesus and got them saved, I think that's sad. You know, I don't understand that mentality. I mean, there was 50 people here last night, but not everybody showed back up for soul winning, right? And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not trying to bash on any of those people. Maybe they have other stuff to do and they go on a different day or whatever. But I don't like, I don't want to see people, you know, say, oh yeah, I'm for all this stuff, and then they don't do it themselves. And so turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 33. Mark chapter 6, verse 33. It says in verse 33, and I just want to give you a little bit of background here. The disciples, Jesus said, go ye apart in a desert place and rest a while. So he's giving, so John the Baptist is killed, and Jesus, you know, said, let's go take a little vacation to a desert place and just get away for just a day, you know. And sometimes we feel like that too. We want to just get away and take a day off, and we're all whiny. I'm whiny on Monday morning sometimes after I've had a long weekend of ministering to people. I'm like, why is this person calling me? Don't they know it's Monday? You know, and we have the tendency to do that, but Jesus was not like that. And he says, let's go apart to this desert place. But what happens? Look what happens in verse 33. It says, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all the cities and outwent them and came together unto him. So Jesus is being followed by this multitude of people, and you know, for whatever their motivations were, they were still going and seeking Jesus. And it says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was what? Moved with compassion. You know, if your compassion doesn't move you, then it's not going to do any good. But he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So this is on his vacation, right? So, you know, when I get whiny about you know, having to do extra stuff on a day that's supposed to be like my day off or whatever, you know, I think about this these scriptures here, and I think, you know, Jesus didn't just, you know, he was supposed to be on vacation. It was supposed to be his day off too. But what happened? He got moved with compassion because people needed his help, you know. And he was here to minister and go full steam ahead, and that his ministry was only 3 years. So he had a short amount of time to do the things on the earth himself. So, but it says he had compassion toward them because they were sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, so this is their only day off, the day's over, right? What's he doing? He's still working with people. He's still having compassion on people. He's still trying to make a difference. It says, and his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. So what are they saying? They're complaining. This is them complaining, like, hey, you know, we're supposed to be on vacation, but the day is far past now. And he's like, and he says, and they said to him, send them away, that they may go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. You know, I really honestly believe that the disciples were kind of upset that they didn't get the day off that they were supposed to have. But Jesus, he just kind of ignored all that and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to have compassion on people. But that's the kind of compassion that we should have towards other people. You know, if we say we follow Jesus, but then we're like, you know what? I don't really care. I want to go have a ham sandwich and take a nap or whatever. But, you know, or I just don't want to talk to people today. You know, I kind of get into that mode. I talk for a living now. And I talk to people. And I'm not trying to complain. That's my job. I love my job. But I'm just saying that sometimes you get burnt out with talking with people. Sometimes you just want to have that day that you go to the desert place where nobody can contact you. Put your phone on airplane mode and just be done. But we shouldn't have that attitude. You know, we should have the attitude that Jesus had, because when he had a chance for a day off, instead, he realized people still needed him, and he still had compassion that would make that difference. So, and he answered, verse 37, and it says, and he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So, what are they saying? You know, basically, but Jesus is telling them, hey, why don't you feed them? And that bread represents the word of God, obviously, the bread of life. But like, you know, he did that great miracle, and they distributed the meat to the people. Jesus, you know, he break it and put it in the baskets, but they all went and served them to the people. Because what's he saying? He's saying, hey, be like I am. Go and give them the bread that they need. Give them the food that they need, and you minister to them. Don't tell them to go minister to themselves. You minister to them. So sometimes we're out soul winning, and it's like you'll find a saved person, and maybe they just needed some correcting on something, or maybe they just needed some encouragement. Because when we go out soul winning, we're not just soul winning. We're preaching and trying to help people in their lives. and say, hey, why don't you come to a church that's actually doing something? Why don't you come and be a part of our team so you can make a difference too? And, you know, a lot of times it just doesn't happen. And they're, oh, yeah, I'll be at church. I'll see you on Sunday. It's like they never come. But every once in a while they do. But people just don't understand what Christianity is all about. It's about what it's really about is seeking and saving that which was lost. That's what Jesus asked us to do. So we need to quit whining about our me time. I just need some me time. That's not what Jesus said. He said, you do it. I'm doing it. He's trying to, you know, provide an example of how he does it. And then he said, and then they're like, send them away. The day is far spent, Jesus. Don't you understand? It was supposed to be our day off. That's what you said. Let's go to a desert place and rest a while. And he's like, no, we're not going to rest, you know, because people need us. And we need to have compassion and compassion that makes a difference. And sometimes I do wonder if people really believe that billions of people in this world are dying and going to hell because of the way that they are in their Christian life. Like, you know, if we really believe that people are dying and going to hell, we need to act upon that. We need to have that compassion and we need to make that difference. And, you know, but really what I think is that people are just lazy. I think that they're just depending on other people to do it. And like just the disciples were depending upon Jesus to do it. And then it was their turn. They were like, send them away. But we shouldn't be like that. We should be a type of people that has compassion on people. Some people just don't have any empathy. They don't have any compassion. But, you know, if that's you, if like you've lost your zeal for soul winning, it's like, you know, it's cold, you know, it's snowing or whatever the excuse is. It is cold. It is snowing. But you know what? It's going to be hot for them in hell. And, you know, I hate being hot. I'm always hot, it seems like. But, you know, I want to make sure people don't go to a place that they're burning forever and ever. You know, and let's look at Jude 23, the verse 23 in Jude. See, some people get this idea that you all, like, being compassionate is just like being real. And I think we should be nice at the door, but sometimes we need to jump into fear mode when we scare the hell into them. It says in verse 23 there, it says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what? It's still compassion to scare people into salvation. So however you get them, you get them. But it's still compassion. It's like, well, you were pretty harsh with them. You were telling them they're going to hell. Yeah, because that's where they're going. And sometimes we need to tell them that. Sometimes, like, you guys have been soul winning for a while, some of you. And you know that when someone really just needs a scare,
right.
Like sometimes you got, you know, if it's some little old lady and they're like really nice, it's not, we need to tell them, hey, this might be your last chance to ever receive the gospel. That is compassion, even though it seems like you're kind of being mean. But do you think who's going to knock that door again? You know, some little old lady that someone's grandma or some old man that, you know, someone's been praying for to get saved for a long time. You might have to just give them a little more. Maybe give them a little scare before you walk away and give them another chance to hear the gospel because it's probably their last chance, you know. So it's still compassion to scare people into salvation, I believe. So I'm going to finish here. Let's go to Psalm 126, verse 6. It's another famous psalm. Psalm 126, verse number 6. It says in Psalm 126, verse number 6, it says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. And sometimes, you know, in unreceptive areas, we're like, hey, you know, it's tough. And it is tough, like when you don't get a salvation, but what's your motivation?
Right.
You know, is it for you to be able to come back and say, I got somebody saved? I mean, I hope that's not your motivation, but, you know, the Bible promises this. If we go forth and weeping, that means you're caring, you're having compassion for somebody. If you go forth and you weep and you bear that precious seed, the Word of God, to somebody so they could get saved, they shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You're going to get people saved. That's what the Bible says. And maybe it's not the amount of people that you think you should be getting saved, but that's up to God. That's up to that individual. You know, God doesn't appear, like Calvinists believe, out of the sky, and they're sitting there drinking coffee and all of a sudden they're saved. That's not how it works. We got to get out there and knock those doors, and we got to be, you know, if you're at a store and you know that God's given you this opportunity to talk to somebody, then take that opportunity. Have compassion on that person. You know, maybe what you're about to do next is not that important. You know, maybe taking that day off isn't as important as you thought it was, because there's other people that are suffering and they need people to have pity on them, just like somebody had pity on us. And so Jesus cared about the multitude, but his compassion made a difference. So much of a difference that all of us could be saved. And he wants us to follow him and do the same things. He gave us examples. I read through some of those where he had compassion on people, actually cared about people and loved them to the point where he said something to them or healed them, or and he saw the multitudes and had compassion on them. And we need to see the multitudes, but we also need to see the individual person. He wants us also to have compassion that makes a difference. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Shield of Faith Baptist Church. Pray, Lord, you continue to bless this church for many years to come. And I pray that you'd help us as we go out soul winning and be motivated to help people and to have compassion upon them, have pity on them, and to really actually care about them so they could be saved, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.